Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits of the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths. It's great to be here with you on this first Sunday in September. I hope that wherever you are, that the temperatures are as nice as they are here in South Georgia. I can't believe it. I'm holding my breath, hoping that it lasts. It has been beautiful here, and I hope that wherever you are, it is beautiful as well. This Sunday is a communion Sunday, so you will hear me at the end of the sermon talk about the communion table, as I try every time to tie in communion and my sermon. So you will hear that at the end of the sermon also. I wanted to let you know that in 2 weeks, we will be having our camp meeting days here at the campground, and that means that I will not be doing a sermon that week. I'm not preaching. The bishop is preaching, and so there will not be a sermon on the 21st. Again, I hope that this is not your only place that you get some fulfillment of church and scripture and community. Anyway, just prepare that the 21st there will be no sermon. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's psalm is the very first psalm. Psalm 1 opens the book and speaks of joy and exalting of God and also gives us a warning. Hear now the word of the psalmist. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now and recite those words that remind us of the things that we believe, the tenets of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today so thankful for the cooler weather, so thankful for the change of the seasons, so thankful for the renewal, the blessings, and the love that we receive. Help us lay down those things that keep us from you. Give them up so that we can serve you better. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is a continuation of our study of the book of Luke. We are in the 14th chapter. We are doing verses 25 through 33 this week. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all of your possessions. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, help me to hear this message loud and clear. Help me to set the right priorities. Help me to put you first and myself second. Let that message be sent out to the world through the hearing of these words that you gave me this week. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Corporal Pat Tillman was an American hero, but at one time, people thought he had lost his mind. Standout college football star at Arizona State, NFL rookie success as a safety, a beautiful wife, a loving family, a great job, talented. Then 9/11 happened and everything changed. Arizona Cardinal Pat Tillman left all of the success and money behind to fight for his country. He joined the Army with his brother and eventually worked his way through Army Ranger School. He followed not a dream, but what he felt was the right thing to do for his country. Not everyone understood it. Not everyone agreed with it. But none of that mattered to Pat and his brother and their family. He left a lucrative career that he was in the middle of building to follow his conscience and fight for his country. His is a story of sacrifice. I know after hearing the scripture today, you thought, goodness, I hope she finds a way to let us off the hook for giving us all up all of our possessions. Because honestly, I thought the same thing. I like my pretty china. I like my nice lamps and rugs. I love my artwork and my framed family pictures. Don't even get me started on how much I love my books. And it's clear that I love a good bauble. And we even have talked about how I love a good dress with pockets. I really have to give all that up? Believe me, I wish I could let us off the hook for this one. And while I don't think Jesus is so unrealistic that he wants us to give up every physical possession to be a disciple, we do have bills to pay after all. So in our world today, money is necessary on some level. I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, are our possessions becoming more important than our faith? Are we willing to sacrifice to do the right thing? Are willing to risk ridicule to follow the teachings of Jesus? This is one of those texts where a little knowledge of the ancient culture is helpful. In particular, I wanted to look at the example of building a tower. In the time of Jesus, it was considered honorable to build things for public good and contributing to the public works. To leave them unfinished was considered dishonorable. So to build something without making sure you could complete it was downright shameful. What Jesus is asking of these men who believe they're very important, these men that build large buildings and fight wars for honor, he's asking them to leave all of that behind. Not just forfeit possessions, but family and status and glory and self-importance and follow him. It's not just about the actual possessions, but about what they represent. He's saying yet again, humble yourself. He's speaking this time to the people who use status and wealth to feel like they are worthy, and telling them to give all of that up. Giving that up means removing their status and replacing it with service. Following Jesus means living a life where they are not the center of their worlds. That is what Jesus was asking them to do. And it was not an easy ask. So no, I can't let us off the hook. But do you have to actually sell everything you own? No, I don't think you do. But we are all called to do something even harder. We're called to put aside the earthly things that we love and replace them with the love of God. We are called to give up the love of self, the love of wealth, the love of things, the love of beauty, the love of power, even sometimes the love of family. Whatever that is that you love more than you love God, that is what you are called to give up. Friends, that sacrifice and release of part of what we prioritize is harder than any closet clean out or yard sale. It means we have to look hard at our priorities and at our lives and at our hearts and see what is held there that is holding us back. Are those sometimes manifested in physical ivory towers or actual wars? Absolutely. We can all make a list of those people who build things to make themselves feel important. The question is, what have we built for ourselves in the same way? What things do we have or have we collected that are hindering us from the life that Jesus asks of us? Are there things we need to let go of? Actual, tangible things, or the things of the spirit and the heart that hold us back? What things are we building that stroke our ego? Heck, how many pictures do we post on Facebook that make us seem like we have it all together? How many times do we go back and check how many likes those pictures have to validate our worth? What towers have we built? What wars have we started to put ourselves at the center of people's lives? No. The preacher is not going to tell you to sell everything, but she isn't going to let herself or any of you off the hook for the hard work either. I have a lot that I possess that I need to give up. I have a lot that I tote around in my suitcases of guilt and shame and priorities that I need to leave behind. I need to leave those things unfinished and turn a corner and live the life that Jesus is longing for me to have as his disciple. I definitely don't have it all figured out yet, but I'm trying. I have a therapist. I have some great friends. I have a lot of quiet time of prayer and inner work that I'm doing. Those things that I possess that are a hindrance are sometimes hard to give up, but it is necessary work. After 9/11 happened, we were all a little more patriotic. We all had a desire to do things differently and to serve our country in new ways. But even I remember thinking that Pat Tillman had to be a little crazy. He was making a lot of money in the NFL. He was playing well and had a bright future with unlimited potential. Why in the world would he give all that up and all the potential for as many possessions as he could buy to go into the army? It's easy to look back now and see what he was doing. We can respect him and no longer ridicule him after knowing how his story ended. Pat Tillman was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan in 2022. The confusion of war cost him not just his possessions, but his life. He was fighting for his country and doing what he believed in. He is an example of what it looks like to do the brave thing even when the world tells you you're wrong. What it looks like to follow your convictions and your heart. Jesus is not asking us to go to actual war. Jesus is asking us to become disciples and fight for justice and peace. Jesus is asking us to wage war on hatred and fight for the love of God. The question is, what are we willing to give up so we can do all of those things? Jesus isn't asking us to do anything he didn't do tenfold for us. He did give up all of his possessions to go and preach the new covenant to the people who lived during his lifetime. He also sacrificed everything so that all of us could find salvation. He asked his disciples to do the same thing when he called them to go around and spread the good news. Jesus also used the last Passover supper to remind them that he was about to make the ultimate sacrifice for all of mankind. It is that last supper that we are reminded of as we come together at the table. We come together to celebrate the faithful life we get to have because of Jesus and the love he showed us all. It is that love that we come together to honor and remember. It is the love that we have for each other that we celebrate as we do it together as a people of faith. People who are flawed and broken and in need of healing, the healing power of God's love and salvation. We come together at the table as we do that, as you are given the bread and cup, as reminders of Jesus' sacrifice. Today especially, let's be mindful of the things that we need to give up so that we can follow him. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us look for things and ways that we can give up what's hindering us from relationship with others, hindering us from relationship with God. What things do we need to put down, whether we're finished building them or not? Let us find those things, and together, with the support and love and care of each other, let's put them down. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.